Welcome everyone to another day of the 28-day challenge to become a fearless woman of faith speaker. Who's ready for another jam-packed, nugget-full session with our another guest today? Before I introduce you to our guest today, I want to encourage you, if you've not listened to the last sessions, I want to encourage you to go back, listen to the replays. I've intentionally left them up for this week so you can do that, so you can get into that rhythm. I guarantee that you will be blown away by the revelations, the truth, the strategies that will help you move from where you are to a place of freedom and stepping into your calling with fearlessness. Because fearless, becoming a fearless woman of faith is not something unattainable. It's actually something that is very much within the realm of what God has called us to walk in by his promises, by his resources, by the power of his Holy Spirit, but more importantly, by his love. The Bible says that a perfect love drives out all fear. And if we come into a greater revelation of his love for us and we receive that in every fiber of our being, it will deliver you. It will set you free from the fear and the intimidation that the enemy would try to put on you. A passage that I was thinking about today was in Psalm 29 that I want to highlight before I bring on my guest today. Psalm 29 is a beautiful passage about the voice of God. The voice of God is a creative voice. It brings about change. It brings about transformation. Of course, the voice of God created the earth. But you have the voice of God within you as well, and is meant to bring forth great transformation through the message that God has called you to speak. And so I want to encourage you to continue to be asking God, what is that unique message that you have called me to deliver on the earth? One verse in Psalm 29, verse 9, it says, God's mighty voice makes the deer to give birth. God wants to birth some things through your voice. God wants to deliver something that is going to birth something in your sphere of influence. So I know that God is raising you up. He has you tuning in here for a reason. So let's thank you. Let me know where you're joining me from. Awesome. Thank you so much. Well, let me introduce to you our guest speaker, who you are going to love. And we're going to find out all about how God has enabled her to walk in this realm of becoming a fearless woman of faith. Dr. Shamika Dean is an award-winning business owner and social thought leader. She is the number one marketing solutionist for business owners, organizations, and corporations. She is known for teaching transformation truth in a thought-provoking way through the idea that a healthy belief system can become a birthing system. Oh, I love this. Through the idea that a healthy belief system can become a birthing system. Dr. Dean teaches the importance of living in the life that we are working to create. So without further ado, let me welcome to the stage, Dr. Shamika Dean. Welcome.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for having me.
You are most welcome. It is our delight. And we just want to welcome those who are listening live right now from Fort McMurray, from Sylvan Lake.
Yes.
Let me know where you're calling in from. And if you're watching the replay, you can say hashtag replay. I'm calling in. I'm listening in from here. Dr. Shamika, I would love it if you would introduce yourself by way of letting us know a little snapshot into how you came to do what you're doing today, because this topic today is all about how to, it's about fear of rejection and abandonment and how to overcome that, how to be set free from that in some regards, right? Mm-hmm. That's the topic for today. And so I would love to know how you came to do what you're doing and how you began to speak on this topic.
Well, how I came to do what I'm doing today, I actually was fired from my job. So that's how I got into entrepreneurship. So if that's not rejection, I don't know what is, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That just hits real hard, doesn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, so I got, you know, like as I was terminated from my job and had to go on a journey of entrepreneurship. And like I tell anyone, entrepreneurship is more about personal development and growth than it ever is about collecting cash, because you really have to understand who you are and whose you are. So your identity and who you are unlocks and gives clarity to what it is you're called and created to do. And so we know that our identity is found first in Christ, you know, who he created us to be, what he called us to do, and those things. And so I had to really dig deep to identify, what am I on this earth to do? I know there was more to me than being a mother. There's more to me than being a wife. There's more to me than serving in ministry, building a business, or being on a job. So who is Shamika Dean at the core, so that I can understand and operate in the power of my authenticity and what I also believe is my anointing, because your anointing only flows freely in your authenticity. And so to even become authentic, it is a journey of rejection, but it's about how we look at rejection. I think that when we change our perspective about rejection and what it really is, then we don't fear it so much. We actually embrace it, because rejection is really just redirection to the original destination and plan that God had for your life anyways. That's all rejection is. That's how I look at it.
Wow. Can you say that last bit again?
Yeah, absolutely. So rejection is redirection to the original destination of what God has called you to do and who he has created you to be.
Wow. Wow. That alone, that shift right there should set some people free. Let me know in the comments if that nugget right there brings about a freedom, because if you see rejection, the inacceptance of something that you have offered or who you are, if you see that as God just redirecting you to the original direction that you're supposed to be on, and this is just a little detour that get you back on the right track.
Just think about it. Whenever we're rejected, we have to think about, why are we being rejected, right? We're rejected because God says you're trying to force yourself to fit into a space that I didn't call you to be in.
Interesting.
So he's showing us, you're, in most cases, we're thinking too big. In other cases, we're trying to connect ourselves to something or someone that will externally validate us. And so God is saying, I'm going to allow rejection to happen so that you never find your identity, your worth, or your value in your accomplishments, your accolades, or the people that you are connected to. Mm-hmm. And so he allows rejection to happen, but it is for us, not to us. And so when we shift that and we're saying, God, where have I tried to minimize what you want to maximize in my life? Where am I trying to fit into a place that you didn't call me to fit into? Where am I trying to force myself to fit? What journey am I going on that will contaminate me and not catapult me? So when we start looking at it that way, we know that God is saying, hey, it's an alarm. You're going in a direction I don't want you to go. You're doing something that's not in alignment with what I've called you to do. You're trying to connect to people that are not good for you. So change your perspective. So I really I'm big on perspective, because I believe that perspective is the power to see things differently.
Yes. So good.
Yeah. So when you start changing your perspective about those things, then you start to move and operate, you know, differently. And you're not angry at God because things didn't go as you desired them to go. Mm-hmm. You're like, God, there's something that you're trying to do for me. There's something you're trying to protect me from. There's something you're trying to prevent from happening, because I, even in the greatness that you know, and how you created me, I'm not infinite. I don't know all that you know. So what I'm saying is, when rejection happens, I trust you, because there's something that you're protecting me from, preventing, you know, from happening, or there's something greater that you have for me.
So what are some of the mistakes? This is really good. These are great. Some one-liners there that you ladies need to be writing down. If it's contaminating you, it's not going to catapult you. You know, there's a whole bunch of things here. And perspective, I believe, is really key. You know, I always say this thing, our perception, if unchecked, can lead to deception.
Yes.
You
know,
because our perception can be tainted.
Absolutely.
We always need to have that filter of the Holy Spirit and the identity of God to be able to see things. But what are some of the mistakes, Shamika, maybe that you've made or that you see others make when it comes to how they respond to rejection?
Some of the mistakes that I see people make in their response to rejection, number one, they don't respond, they react. So they react out of their emotions instead of responding with wisdom, right? So that's one of the things that I see. The other is they take it personally and they begin to invalidate themselves. Mm-hmm. They begin to allow the thoughts of unworthiness to overtake them, mm-hmm. feeling like something is wrong with them. And it's not something wrong with you. You were just going the wrong way. That's it. You were mm-hmm. just going the wrong way. And so when you take rejection personally, you start to make it a part of your identity. And once you identify with something, it becomes your way of being and mm-hmm. doing. And so you can stay in this perpetual state of self-sabotage. You know, you stay in this perpetual state of allowing fear to make you forfeit. You stay in this perpetual state of even quitting. You know, you just don't do anything. You just kind of stay in a safe space. And mm-hmm. so that's because you're trying to prevent rejection because you don't understand that rejection doesn't happen for you. It doesn't happen to you, but it happens for you.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just thinking about how often women would be, if they're reacting to this or operating in this fear of rejection, mm-hmm. it kind of sets them up. And I know I've been there, so I can speak from this in terms of it's really the fear of man, which the Bible talks about, right? The fear of man. And of course, from the scriptures, we know that it's a trap.
Right. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. There.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, and then when you think about it, a person who fears rejection, they always need to feel accepted.
Mm.
So even if that means compromising your morals, compromising your integrity, denying the inner knowing, the gift of discerning, like God is saying, hey, something about this relationship isn't right. But because you so desperately desire to be accepted, then you'll do anything to be accepted, right? So you'll stay in places that you know you're not supposed to be. You'll stay in relationships that you know you're not supposed to be. You're no longer supposed to be connected to. Mm-hmm. And then the fear of abandonment, that person needs to be needed. So they always overcompensate. They become the superhero in everybody's story, right? Mm-hmm. They become I have to teach my clients this too. And I said, always remember this, we're called to serve, not to save,
mm-hmm.
right? So there's only one savior, his name is Jesus. But when you fear rejection and abandonment, you will try even subconsciously or unknowingly, you will become the savior to people.
That's so right? good.
And so you start operating in that place where you've convinced yourself, oh, they can't make it without me. They can't do this without me, right? I have to be the one to do this thing, like the mom. We have to be the ones to do all these things for our children when the reality is we just give them the tools and they'll eventually get it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's what the fear of rejection and the fear of abandonment looks like. So there, when you kind of want to know, well, which one is it that I really, really am, you know, battling with? What do I need to be delivered from? Do you always feel the need to be accepted? Are you afraid to be your authentic self because you don't want people to reject you, right? Or are you the person that's a superhero? You always want to be the savior. You always over-deliver. You compensate and all of those things. And you try to create an environment where you will not be discarded. That's someone who deals with the fear of abandonment. And then again, the other person is the fear of rejection, because that's when you start to conform. You start to do whatever it is to keep people from, you know, rejecting you, talking about you, you know, saying that you're not good enough, all of those things. And so that's kind of how you can identify the difference between the two.
That is a really good distinction. And it just reminds me also of a lot of things that I hear from my clients or women who feel held back from speaking, is that they're afraid of being judged.
Yeah.
They're afraid of what other people are going to say, which really is a fear of rejection, fear, right? It just taps into that. And as a result, they're held back from actually walking in what God has called them to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because the authentic version of who you are, not the alter egos that we create, right? Because I believe that we can create alter egos to as a defense mechanism to prevent rejection, right? Mm-hmm. So we may go and have a persona of ourselves that we've created, but behind closed doors, you know, we are shaking in our boots, right? Mm-hmm. but the authentic you, beyond the hurts, beyond the hardships and all those things where you created that alter ego, the authentic version of you is truly the most successful version of you. That's where your success starts. And that's where it always continues, is when you are truly who you are and not the version of yourself that is going to get you the most accolades, applause, or accomplishments, but the authentic version of yourself. And so how do you know that you're really truly being authentic is when you are rejected, because people, a lot of times, the authentic version of you, don't know how to handle that when you're yourself. They don't know how to handle that, right? And so they will reject that part of you. But I think that when we can get back to the moment where our authenticity was altered, is the moment where you were yourself and you were the freest version of yourself. And somebody told you that who you were wasn't good enough. Somebody said, oh, don't do that. That's too much. You can't operate. You can't do that in this atmosphere. You know, you can't act like that over here. They're not going to accept you over there. And so what happens is every time the real you tries to show up, that moment comes back to your memory and you revert or you conform or you tone it down a little bit. Right. And so, but understanding that through the authenticity is alignment, and alignment activates acceleration. So if any area in your life is at a slow spot or a standstill, you're out of alignment somewhere.
I love that. I love that. I love what you just said there about the authenticity was altered, because that is so key. It's just, is coming to an awareness and asking the Holy Spirit. So if you're listening today and that you know there's something out of alignment, that's key what Shamika just said right there. If you're feeling like, you know what, I'm stuck, I can't get going, I'm just really, or whatever, you're feeling held back, well, where are you out of alignment? Yes. And often that misalignment came because you altered who you are.
Altered it to be accepted. You altered it to be applauded. You altered it so that you can get some kind of accomplishment, you know, or accolade. And what you do, and this is what I really want people to understand, when you alter your authentic self, you're basically telling God who you created is not good enough.
Exactly. Exactly. You know?
And think about how much of a disappointment that would be to a father, you know, and we tell our father, I don't like who you created me to be. Because who I am is not good enough. And it's not that it's not good enough for you, because you love me in my rawest, purest form. But I'm saying to you that I care more about what these people would say than I care about what you would say.
Wow.
And that's so disheartening.
Bam. That's so disheartening. Wow. That's like a punch in the gut right there. But it's true. It's a truth bomb right there, that we care more about what other people think of us than what the Father has said of us.
Yes.
That is so good. That's so good. So let's just backtrack a little bit here, because I love how you're talking about this subject of the authenticity and how it's so important to be yourself. And you made a statement, you know what, how you know you're not being authentic or you're being authentic is that you are rejected. And I just think about Jesus. A lot of people say, oh, you know, Jesus was so nice. He actually wasn't nice. He was kind. Nice is not a fruit of the Spirit. Nice. But he got rejected.
Yes.
And he was okay with it.
Because here's the thing. If we really understand, you know, what our anointing is supposed to do, right? The anointing is, you know, it's like an accelerant, but it also is an aggravator, right? And so it aggravates things that are out of alignment. And so if we're operating in our true self, then something about us should aggravate someone who's not. And so when we go into an atmosphere where people are operating, you know, in the watered down version of themselves, and you come in and you're your authentic self, it's going to aggravate complacency. It's going to aggravate you, right? Yeah. And so that's what it's supposed to do. And so even when I teach in marketing, I said, if your message isn't contrarian, if your message doesn't repel people, it's not a good marketing message. It's just simply not.
So true. So true. I love what you're saying there, because this is something that Christians need to hear.
Yes.
Specifically, because we can get ourselves in these situations where we bow down to the mindset and the ways of the world, mm-hmm. and try to be all things to all people and forget who we are and who God has called us to be. And we lose our power. We lose that anointing. And so what you're saying here is so key. One of the things that I'd love for you to touch on is this whole aspect of what does the anointing, why is it so important for us to flow in our anointing as entrepreneurs?
Because there's no transformation without it. It's just inspiration, mm-hmm. at that point. And if we're called to be imitators of him and we're called to walk like he walked and do what he did, then everybody he touched was transformed.
Yeah.
And it was by the power of what was on him and what was in him. So in him, the power of, you know, the God, power of God, that he flows through us. And on him is that extra anointing, that boost, right? And so I always tell people, I said, when you work with me, the benefit is that you get the strategies, you know, for free. I said, but you get the strategies, but you also get Jesus. Like, you're going to get both, because my assignment has always been bigger than my bank account. My assignment is to transform lives and to represent God in such a way through my business that you want to know more of him. Mm-hmm. And so that's like the best of both worlds, right? You get the business strategy and you get a little biblical scripture too. You know, like, we don't sell scripture or anything like that, but, you know, I live it. So it's in me. And because it's in me, it just exudes through everything, you know, everything that I do. And I believe that if you really want true transformation, and you know that your transformation came by your way or your relationship with God, then how honest are you actually being and how you show up if you don't allow your anointing to fully flow through?
Wow. Can you give us an example, Shamika, of either from your own life or someone that you have walked with, where the shift that happened for them, like, for example, you know, what the cost was to them when they continued to operate in this fear of rejection compared to when they chose to walk in their authenticity?
Yes, absolutely. I have a client, I have several clients, and we always do surveys, I guess, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so one of the things we ask them is, what do you believe contributed the most to your growth in our program? Mm-hmm. And it never fails. It's always authenticity. You helped me to be my authentic self. Mm-hmm. So I'm talking about taking a client from making $50,000 a year in her business to doing $5 million in sales in 6 months, right? Mm-hmm. Authenticity. I'm talking about someone who started a brick and mortar in the middle of the pandemic when everybody was closing down, and she made six figures in 8 months in the pandemic, right? And so I said, what was the difference? She said, I didn't know who I was. I was trying, I didn't realize how important it was for me to be myself. And that's what was attracting my clients, you know, to me.
Wow.
That is your superpower. That is your anointing. That is your differentiator. That is your gap filler in the industry. All of the business terms, it's authenticity. It's who you are. And when you understand who you are is enough, has always been enough, and will always be enough, you will not dumb yourself down or deny your authentic self, because that's what blocks your flow. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, this is so good. I love it. I love it. I mean, years ago, when I first started out as an entrepreneur, I never really thought I'd ever be an entrepreneur, but God called me to be an entrepreneur, called me out of ministry, and about 15, 16 years ago now. And one of the things that he drilled into me, it comes out of Colossians 3:3, and it talks about this. It talks about your real you, mm-hmm. is revealed only, mm-hmm. as we are surrendered to Christ, only, yeah. as we allow his life to flow through us. And embrace who he says we are. That is our true identity, mm-hmm. and our authenticity. And so if we try to be anything other than who he made us to be, we're actually not walking in truth.
No, we're not. You can't walk in truth and live a lie. Mm-hmm. And so to live a lie means when you deny who you really are to fit into those community circles, or when you deny him, you're living a lie at that particular point, right? And so his spirit only operates in truth,
mm-hmm.
you know, in truth. And so I think that that's one of the biggest things, is understanding that God didn't want to use the version of me that was comfortable for others.
Mm.
He wants to use the version of me that he created me to be.
Exactly. That's so good. Because that's where the most power is, that with your unique contribution. And I want those who are listening today to get this. Like, your uniqueness is your differentiator.
Yes.
Is the very thing that God put you on the earth to shine, because it is his reflection through you in your unique way that God has formed you, shaped you, all the things that he's taught you. That's what differentiates you. And even if someone in the same industry, doesn't mm-hmm. matter.
That's right.
Doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. I remember years ago, Shamika, I was thinking, you know, why is my story, like, I don't need to tell my story. Someone else has a similar story and they're doing a good job at sharing that. And mm-hmm. God said, no, that's not your story. That's their story.
Because your story may be similar, but it still sounds different. It still connects with, you know, people, you know, differently. And so I tell my clients the same thing. I said, if you have a story to tell, you have a product to sell.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why you're not connecting with your clients is because you're not telling your story.
Exactly. Right?
And so people connected with me because of my story. And I continue to share my story because I know that my story is what helped me to be who I am. Mm-hmm. And the reason people are stuck, there are other people that are actually still stuck where they are because you're not being true to who you are. And so they need you to be the confidence. Like, they need you to give them the confidence that it's okay for them to be themselves as well.
Yes.
And so I always think about, how many people am I leaving stuck in a place of bondage because I'm worried about what this group of people are going to say?
That is so good. What you just said there in terms of, and I'm going to paraphrase it. Mm-hmm. It's like your story, because many, many people say, well, I don't know. Where do I find the people that are going to buy my stuff or mm-hmm. who are going to work with me? I'm like, are you telling your story? And I just heard you say that.
Yes.
Maybe the reason why you're not finding those people is because you're not sharing from your authentic self. You're not sharing your story.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I will never forget how my business took off when I started telling people about my husband and I divorcing and remarrying. To me, the story wasn't that significant. Okay, we divorced, we remarried, we're good, right? We're living happily ever after now. However, it was that story that unlocked mm-hmm. my business. It just, a flood of clients started to come because there were so many women who were in that space and didn't know how to navigate it. But here I was thinking my story was just unique to me, or it wasn't that significant. Mm-hmm. However, there were so many people that were stuck. And when I told them, they were able to get free as well.
So good. So good. This really feeds into, you know, one thing that I really believe is that it's so important for you to own your story.
Yes.
And out of that place will come your mission. When you unlock your story, you release your mission. Like, a lot of people are trying to find their purpose outside of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And don't realize that, no, God has put within your life the mm-hmm. threads to lead you down the path of your purpose.
Absolutely.
And wow. So those who are listening today, I'd love it if you would put in the comments, what are you taking away? What are some things that God is speaking to you today through this conversation? Some nuggets, some revelations, some ahas, mm-hmm. and just give some love to Shamika for sharing her story, and also the things that God has put in her heart to pass on. Yes, exactly. We have to share. And here's the thing. When you first share your story, it may be scary
mm-hmm.
because if you are locked in that mindset or that frame of reference that not everyone's going to accept it. And if you care about that, it will seem that way. But guess what happens on the other side of that? Freedom.
Freedom. Mm-hmm. Freedom. Yeah. And not everyone is going to accept it, because your story is not for everyone, but your story is for those who want the story, who need the story. And yeah. It's for those who, you know, who are willing, you know, to listen. So again, remember, we're not called to save the world. We're just called to serve the group of people that have aligned, you know, that God has aligned with us, and that share those stories and need the strategies to get out, because we're bold enough to share, you know, to share our story. And you don't share anything that you haven't been free from. That, I mean, that's just wisdom. You know, you don't share things that you haven't been free from. And the other thing is making sure that you forgive yourself so that you have the freedom to share. You know, I'll tell anyone, my story is not pretty, but it's my story. And I'm not going to hold myself hostage to anything God has forgiven me of or delivered me from. There's a freedom in that. And I was in bondage too long, and there's nobody that's going to make me go back.
Exactly. I'm so glad you pointed that out, because it is true. If you're still in the middle of it, you don't want to, you can share the part of that, but really the place where you've overcome becomes one of the places of greatest authority for you to walk in.
Absolutely.
And anointing. And so it's so powerful. And I hope that you heard what Shamika said earlier, that her message was the magnet that drew the people to her that needed to work with her, that needed to what she had. Mm-hmm. Her business blew up when she started to own her story. And sometimes you don't know until you actually start sharing, and then you realize, oh, that part of my story is like, you see what is happening. You see the people who are gravitating towards that. So
absolutely.
Would you agree, Shamika?
Yes, absolutely. And I did, you know, as I said, most of the times when it comes to marriage is very sacred. It's very, you know, private. And so people did not, I was taught, you know, what goes on in this house stays in this house, right? Mm-hmm. That applies on a case-by-case basis, I guess I would have to say, because me sharing my story sets so many other people free, you know? And as I said, my husband and I did the work, we did the healing. So we were able to share from a healed place and not a hurt place. And so it's just like, if you've broken your leg, if you haven't finished your physical therapy, then you know that you don't need to go out there and just start walking without the crutch or the cane, right? And so it's the same thing with sharing your story. You don't have to share it until you are at a healed place, or at a place where you're strong enough to where it won't re-injure you when you do share it. So that's just wisdom. You know, you ask God, is it time for me to share it? What do I need to share? Because the word says that he'll give you what to say in that hour. And so if you lean into that, then you don't ever have to worry about being ashamed or worried about, you know, backlash or those kind of things, because God has the wisdom to let you know when you're ready to share those things.
That's so good. So she's not saying that you have to be perfect before you start sharing. What she's saying is there's a part of your process that has been completed in some sense, that God is wanting you to share in order to help those. I remember, I think it's Russell Brunson who said, you know, you just need to be one chapter ahead of the people that you're meant to reach, right?
That's right.
Like, I've got one chapter ahead in this book, so I can teach you what went before.
Absolutely. If I can only help you get to B, you know, at least I can help you get from A, right? But if I'm on A, I'm not trying to help you get to A as well. But once I go up a little bit farther, you know, I can help, you know, help you. And so that's good. I like that.
That's so good. Well, Shamika, I'm going to put the link down below for sure, where to get a hold of you. And you, I know you have a free gift for them. So this link is also going to be down below. But any final words that you want to leave with the people today in this area, what would be one thing that you would say if they are in this space where they know that they have operated under this fear of rejection and abandonment? What would be one thing you'd say as their first step?
So the first step I would say to someone who's struggling with the fear of rejection is, again, understanding that rejection is protection and redirection. So change your perspective about how you view rejection so that you will understand that you actually have power over it, and that rejection is going to get you back in alignment with God's original destination for your life. And the other thing is that sometimes we have to understand that we are also rejected by people who don't have the capacity to hold our greatness in their hands. Mm-hmm. And so when you're trying to, you know, minimize yourself, God is saying, they're not ready. They're mm-hmm. not ready. And it's not that you're not, but they're not ready. And so you don't want to try to force yourself, you know, into that. And the last thing I would like to say is understanding that rejection doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you.
So good.
It doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. So don't own that. Don't allow that to become a part of your identity. Who you are and whose you are is enough. You are amazing in your own right. And God has so many great things for you to do. So don't allow rejection to stop you.
So good. Thank you so much, Shamika. This is such a rich experience. And I know the chat and the comments is just blowing up there. And I know that there's so much truth being deposited. And I know freedom is coming to many women who are listening to this conversation. So definitely check out Dr. Shamika's work and how you can get connected with her. I'm so thankful to have you here with us. And I just want to reiterate what she said earlier, is that your anointing flows through your authenticity.
Yes.
So if you want to walk in the anointing that God is that signature anointing that God has called you to, you need to ask yourself, am I walking in my authentic self? Am I being authentic to who God has called me to be?
Absolutely.
So thank you, everyone. Have a beautiful day. We look forward to seeing you tomorrow for day 8 with another guest at Fearless Women of Faith and Speaking, so that you can become, you can walk in the fullness of all that God has called you to be. This is a non-negotiable, ladies.
Yes.
This is not just a nice thing. This is actually the will of God for your life. Mm-hmm. And so what you're learning here is shattering maybe some lies that you've been told in your life, where the enemy is taunting you, what the world is saying, so that you can truly be the world changer that God has called you to. And so that's our heart. And thank you again, Dr. Shamika. We'll look forward to staying connected with you.
Thank you.